Take your Bible and go to Luke 11, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 27, and Brother Randy, I'm going to read down through verse 36. You probably only have through verse 34, but I'm going to read down through verse 36 as well. Let me say to you, thank you for your prayer support for me and for our family, of course, yesterday with the wedding, but yeah, last week I was in my home church in Pisgah, Alabama for a renewal revival time, and then of course the week before that I was to be here, but had a torn retina in my left eye, and had surgery done on that Friday, and the doctor put me down, paralleled the floor for 4 days, and said, you don't need to be moving around very much. And so, John, thank you and all of you that stepped in and prayed for me. And I'm grateful for that. So many of you have asked, how are you, how are you, how are you? And to be quite honest with you, until yesterday, I was doing remarkably well. But my eye has backed up in the last 24 hours. And I will see the surgeon again either this afternoon or in the morning. And so we will talk. I was on the phone with him last night, and I've had some issues with this left eye again. So you pray that all will go well, and we'll get that fixed. I just noticed some things about 24 hours ago, then it's gone downhill and is not just real good in my left eye again, and it's not the same thing I had, but I'm not sure what it is, but well, it wouldn't have mattered if any of you men had shaved this morning or not to me. I couldn't tell if you did when I got up close to you, I could, but so I'm a little fuzzy in my left eye today. Leo, thank you for reading from 2 Corinthians 12 today. The Lord ministered life to me when Paul said that God gave me a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what that is, but when you look in your footnotes, either it was malaria or some other malady, and many people think it was an eye issue that Paul had because of the large way that he wrote. And some say it was his mother-in-law, but I don't hold to that text. He had some issue that prayer couldn't get him over. He said, he asked three times that the Lord get rid of that. Well, let me tell you, I've surpassed three times praying for this to go away. But it's back, and so we'll deal with it. But God's grace is sufficient when you walk through those issues. And so this morning, I want to talk and preach to you out of Jesus' words. I've been studying the eye the last few days and getting very much acquainted with how it works and how it doesn't work. And Jesus used that illustration, as he did from various parts of anatomy, with parable and story. And he deals with that in Luke 11, beginning in verse 27. And we read through verse 36, a message that I've simply entitled, Clear Eyes. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But Jesus said, On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. And the crowds were increasing. And he began to say, This generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up with the men of this generation at the judgment and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar, nor under a basket, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Verse 35. Then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light, with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illuminated as when the lamp illumines you with its rays. Jesus said in verse 34, the eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eye is clear, the King James says, when your eye is single, when you're just looking at one thing, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad or is not clear, it is blocked. It's bad. Your body also will be full of darkness. Now, I want you to notice he did not say that the eye is the light. He said the eye is the lamp. And it allows the light, which is Christ himself, to come into our life, just as your eye becomes that window or lamp that, when illuminated, allows light to come into your life. Jesus is the light. The eye becomes the lamp to the inner man. And when it's clear, our whole life is filled with light. But when it's blocked, when it's unclear, when it's not singular, then the light cannot come in. Three things I want to share with you about having clear eyes today. Number one, I would submit to you, first of all, that you should make Christ your primary focus. Notice in verse 34, the eye is the lamp of your body when your eye is clear, when your eye is singular. Now, when you back up in this text, you'll notice that Jesus said that this generation is a wicked generation. And he said they're always looking for a sign. They don't want to live by faith. They want to live by sight, by what they can see. And it's wicked in the generation. Now, who he's speaking to here is Israel. He's speaking to the Jew. He's speaking to his own people. If he were here today, he'd be talking to us. He'd come to us as his own people, as the religious people. He'd come to the Baptist, and he'd say, if you're not careful as Baptist, you'll become a wicked bunch of Baptists in this generation. A wicked bunch of Christ followers in this generation, if you're looking for an outward sign rather than living by inward faith. And then he gives two illustrations of it. He says, first of all, that the queen of the south, this is 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, when he speaks of the queen Sheba that comes, the queen of the south, and she comes to Solomon and says, Solomon, over in the book of 1 Kings chapter 10, I hear the wisest man in all the world. And Solomon gives out wisdom to the queen of the south as she comes. And when she listens, she hears things she's never heard before. She is absolutely taken back. She says, you are indeed the wisest man in the world. And yet, Jesus said, I tell you, something greater than Solomon is among you. Dear friend, that something greater than Solomon is the Lord Jesus himself that has come among us. We have someone wiser than the wisest man that's ever lived. And you should make him the single primary focus of your life. This is the lordship issue. This is where you say to everything else, I block it out, but I am focused clearly on Christ and Christ alone in my life. Then he gives a second illustration. He again goes outside of the Jewish nation. He first illustrates with the Queen of the South, a non-Jew. Then he illustrates with the Ninevites. You remember Jonah, he says, that Jonah went down to Nineveh, and there he preached to the Ninevites. And verse 32 says, the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation, with this wicked generation of Jews at the judgment, and they will condemn that generation. Why? Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. You remember the story when God sent Jonah down there to Nineveh? I'm telling you, if you've never studied the Ninevites, that was the most wicked group of people you could ever think of. I mean, they killed and maimed and slaughtered people. You've seen the story this week where the little girl from Ohio, 17 years old, that converted from Islam to Christianity. She now resides here in our state, and they've had a stay. Her mom and daddy want her to come back to Ohio, but they've said, no, not yet. And the reason she says that she does not want to go back is because she says her parents adhere to Muslim law, and that if she is converted from Islam to Christianity, that they will kill her. Say, Pastor, that never happened. Well, you've never read Muslim law then. I'm telling you, there are some great Islamic people that do not adhere to that. They live among us, and many of them are our neighbors and friends. But I'm here to tell you that fundamental Islam adheres to that law, and it is that law that they want to rule in America. And they would do away with the Constitution, and they would do away with your freedom. He said, well, Pastor, you're just... No, I'm here to tell you, I'm not fear-mongering with you today. I don't know what that daddy would do with that little girl. But I know around the world that Muslims that convert are often murdered because it's the law of their land. He said, boy, that's brutal. Let me tell you, friend, that's exactly what Nineveh was like. Nineveh was a place of butchery and godlessness. And God told Jonah, that's where I want you to go hold a revival. And he said, I ain't going. He got on a boat and headed the other way. And then a big storm came up and they started throwing stuff off. And Jonah said, if you get rid of me, the storm will go away. And they pitched the preacher overboard. God had a special fish, tailor-made for Jonah, swallowing him up 3 days, 3 nights in the bottom of that fish. So you really believe that? Well, Jesus believed it, and I'm trusting him to get me to heaven. So yes, I believe that. Amen. Spit him up on dry ground, and let me tell you, but while he was coming out of the throat of the fish, before he hit the ground, Jonah had his compass out saying, which way's Nineveh? And when he hit the ground, he took off to Nineveh, and he is hollering, 40 days, 40 days, 40 days to repent. See, he had one primary focus. It was the good news come from God. Turn to God, turn to God. He didn't have a bunch of messages. He had one single clear focus in his eye, and it was come to God, come to God, come to God. And the Ninevites got saved by the thousands. And then Jonah got mad. He wanted God to rebuke the Ninevites, and when he did, he went down and pouted and soured and sat under a gourd. God sent a worm, ate a gourd. He wound up in the blistering sun. Some people think Jonah's deal in the fish was his judgment. Let me tell you, under the gourd that died, I believe, was the judgment of Jonah. The fish turned him in the right direction. The worm in the gourd said, you sorry, low-down preacher, that you won't even believe the things you've been preaching yourself. And God says these Ninevites are going to stand at the judgment to all of Israel and say to them, this is the way you do it. This is the primary. What we need to do, friends, is make Jesus our primary focus. And I just want to ask you today in this room, who's the Lord of your life? What's the primary focus of your life? Is he the first place ruler in all of your life? I'm here to tell you, Jesus is to be Lord if you have a clear eye. Number two, I'd submit to you not only we are to make Jesus our primary focus. Secondly, verse 35 in this text tells us, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Look in verse 35. Jesus said, make sure your eyes clear. Make me Lord. But verse 35, watch out. That the light in you is not darkness. Do you know you can have the wrong kind of light coming in your eye? You can let bad light in. Proverbs 6 and verse 17 says the Lord hates seven things, and the first one he names is haughty eyes. You want to let your life be full of darkness? Get proud. Just get puffed up, have haughty eyes. Look at me, look at me. He that exalts himself is going to be brought low, the Bible says. Haughty eyes will make you dark. 1 John 2:16 says that the world is filled with three things. The lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. You don't let the wrong thing in your life? Have haughty eyes. You want to let the wrong thing in your life? Have lustful eyes. Just things, things, things. It's killing the American church today. Lust of the eyes. This, 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 this. Not only does he speak of haughty eyes and the lust of the eyes, but tell you one other thing that'll cause your life to go dark. That's Matthew 7, verse 5, where Jesus gives that illustration we all know. He tells, get that speck out of your brother. Well, why don't you get the log out of your own eye before you deal with a speck in your brother's eye? This kind of judgment that we bring on other people, he tells us, will darken our eye. Now, and I want you to look back in verse 27, 28. Nobody ever talks about this first, but we need to talk about this because this is one of the ways we're deceived. Anything that moves Jesus from the primary focus brings deception. Now notice verse 27 in chapter 11. Jesus was teaching and one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. Talking about Mary. Said, blessed is Mary, but Jesus would have nothing of it, not even about his mother. He said, on the contrary, not blessed is Mary, but blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. There are those today that want to exalt Mary at the expense of Jesus. Mary Altatry has no place in the church. Mary's not to be worshipped. Jesus is to be worshipped. Mary was used, thank God for, but let me tell you, Mary is not an icon. It's not somebody we run to. She's not somebody that we cry out to. We cry out to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Anything that gets in the way of Christ is adultery or idolatry. In our lives. And we do not need to make idols in our life. And if Mary becomes that gets the focus, you will de-emphasize Jesus and you'll move into making an idol out of someone else. Do not be deceived. Number three, Christians, according to verse 36, are to be bright lights in the world. Look at it. He said in verse 34, that your eyes of the lamp ought to be clear. Christ is primary. Watch out, don't be deceived, verse 35. Verse 36, if therefore your whole body is full of light and no dark part in it, if you've got your singular focus and you're full of light, it will be wholly illuminated and you will be a light to the world. Christians are to be bright lights in our world. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says, walk as children of light. Matthew 5, verses 14, 15, 16 tells us to let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you go to the internet and type in points of light, you'll find a national organization called the Points of Light in America. This is a secular organization. The Points of Light are trying to inspire, equip, and mobilize Americans to take action to change the world. I thought that's pretty good for us. We ought to be points of light at Olive Baptist Church. We ought to inspire people, equip people, and mobilize people that we might change the world. What we're to be, lights. Now here's, you said, well, preacher, you goofed up. No, the preacher didn't goof up. What I want you to do is stop blowing out candles. I'm tired of seeing Baptists be so self-righteous and judgmental of other people that somebody tries to take a stand and they just run by and say, I'm telling you, stop blowing out candles. You say, well, I don't like the way they're doing it. Well, I like the way they're doing it better than the way you're not doing it. Stop judging everybody else and blowing out candles and bless God, light a candle. And be that to somebody. Let your light shine for a while. Quit blowing out everybody else's candle. Dear God, we've got enough of that. Well, you know, they're singing a little loud. Well, that guy down there, he's praying in public. Our life would sure be a lot easier if you'd just quit that. Well, bless God, somebody stand up and light a candle. Dear God, we got enough darkness around us. We ought to stand up and light something. Illuminate. You say, well, preacher, we really don't need that. And, you know, we just need to be calm. And you know, don't. Hey, friend, it's getting darker all the time. Jamie, bring the house lights down to half scale, would you? Just bring them down about half. That's what's happening in America right now. It's getting darker. Now, watch this. The darker that gets, the brighter that gets. Bring them on down a little more for me. The darker it gets, the brighter this gets. You say, well, it didn't make, no, it didn't make much difference a while ago, did it? But I'm telling you, it's getting bright now, isn't it? You watch when all the lights go out in here. Oh, thank God somebody's got a candle burning. Amen? Amen. That would light our world. Because if you stop, America may go dark. The church may go dark. Brother Leo, do you know that little song, This Little Light of Mine?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you start singing that song?
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Don't let Satan what?
Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. let it shine.
We sing that third stanza, I'm going to let my light shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Going to let my light shine till Jesus. How are you going to let your light shine? There's a thousand ways to let your light shine. I know it's Marilyn Winkler walked in our service today. She got a good report out of the courts this week. She and her husband letting her light shine. I'm grateful for that. You may just stand up and pray somewhere. You may coach a little boy's or a little girl's team, and you never know how you're going to let the light shine when you coach a team. You may go to somebody's house that they just need food or water, and you give them something. I'm telling you, that's the way you let your light shine. Your neighbor may just need their grass cut. You go do that and just let your light shine. Somebody may just need a hug when they're down and out. And you just let your light shine. See, we get so judgmental that we say, well, people are going to get out on a limb, or they're going to, you know, become a fanatic. Bless God, it's time to quit that. I'm telling you, America needs a few fanatics. Somebody, you know, people tell me, you know, your people are going to get up out on a limb. I said, well, you know, they ain't got up a tree yet. I mean, we wait till they get up a tree before we worry about the limb business. But, you know, somebody crawl up there and just wave a light. And when you wave a light, oh my. I noticed the other day the President of the United States gave out these medals. And it was amazing, the 16, I believe it was, people that. And you could tell it was very politically correct. You had conservative Republicans and very liberals on the other side. You had gays and straights and all kind of stuff. You know, the Bible doesn't use that word. It uses sodomite is the word the Bible uses. From Sodom and Gomorrah. But there was one guy from an African village that was there. I never heard of him before. But I went and started looking. And he lived in a very poor, poor, poor little town. And he took $35. And he took it and divided it up and gave it to business people and loaned them just a few dollars to get their business going. Now down through the years, that man has loaned, get this, because of what's gone out and come back and gone out, $8 billion. It wasn't TARP money. This was like just an economic system. We'll go start a business and pay it back, and then he'd loan some more and pay it back. It was a phenomenal story, and it all started with $35. That old boy just lit somebody's candle. Jesus said, if your eye be singular. Now, you see, this morning, I got one good eye. When I close my left eye, I can see all y'all. I can. But when I close my right eye, you all get fuzzy. I mean, I sure can't see Leo. I can make out some people just because I know where you sit. You see, some of us in the church, we got to understand, we got good eyes and bad eyes. We got folks that are primary Jesus, and then we got folks that are blowing out candles. And friend, we got to stop blowing out candles. We got to start letting the light of Jesus in us and claim Him as Lord. Christ first and foremost. And I share with you, the line starts right here this morning. If Jesus is not your Savior, if He's not your Lord, if you're looking for a church family, just come. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's come to show you the way to God. That's why He died on Calvary's cross. And He encourages us to come to Him and let the light of Christ in us and then through us, that others might say, have you lit anybody up lately? Have you encouraged anybody? Lifted them? Let your light shine today. We're going to sing a song in a moment. Somebody in that balcony needs to come run into Jesus. Somebody across this ground floor needs to come and say, I'm coming home to the Lord today. Somebody needs to come say, I need to be a part of that church family. You know, and you take all those candles and you start bunching them up, man, you can make a fire after a while. You bring all those candles together. I have a lot of people tell us, you know, I'm not big on the corporate church or all that stuff. Well, hey, Jesus was. He said He died for the church. So I don't believe in organized church. Well, then why in the book of Revelation did they send that cyclical letter out to seven churches on the mail route? Why did He say the church at Laodicea and the church at Ephesus? Why did they have local church? I'm telling you, there are to be local churches. You say, well, they're not perfect. No, they're just like us. Reason or not, because they're made up of us. See, we're in a veil of tears. We were clay feet, but one day we're going to be the bride of Christ, made whole and perfect. But friend, we're not in the millennium yet. It's coming, but we're not there. But we are to be toiling and striving by the power of the Holy Ghost of God within us, taking everybody we can to heaven on the way. Some of you ought to come join a church today. Some of you ought to come get right with the Lord. Some already wanting to come do that. Let's stand all over this room. We're standing. Father, have Your way and draw people now in Jesus' name. Amen.